James, and Siloam brought spices so they could embalm him. Very early on Sunday morning, as the sun rose, they went to the tomb. They worried out loud to each other, "Who will roll back the stone from the tomb for us?" Then they took up, saw that it had been rolled back. It was a huge stone, and walked right in. They saw a young man sitting on the right side, dressed all in white. They were completely taken back, astonished. He said, "Don't be afraid. I know you're looking for Jesus, the Nazarene, the one they nailed on the cross. He's been raised up. He's no longer here. You can see for yourself, the place is empty." But Mary stood outside the tomb weeping. As she wept, she knelt to look into the tomb and saw two angels sitting there, dressed in white, one at the head, the other at the foot of where Jesus' body had been laid. They said to her, "Woman, why do you weep?" "They took my master," she said, "and I don't know where they put him." After she said this, she turned away and saw Jesus standing there, but she didn't recognize him. Jesus spoke to her, "Woman, why do you weep? Who are you looking for?" She, thinking that he was the gardener, said, "Mister, if you took him, tell me where you put him so I can care for him." Jesus said, "Mary." Turning to face him, she said in Hebrew, "Rabboni," meaning teacher. Jesus said, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go to my brothers and tell them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, my God and your God." Mary Magdalene went, telling the news to the disciples, "I saw the Master." And she told them everything he said to her. Let's bow our heads and pray. God, what a glorious morning it is to celebrate the resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ. Simply said in word, but powerful indeed. We are excited to gather here to celebrate that truth, to exclaim that good news, and to praise your name in all we do and say this Easter. God, we pray that in your Son's name, holy as it is, Jesus Christ. Amen.
your hymnals now and turn to hymn number 159, Christ the Lord is Risen Today. Let's stand as we sing.
Christ the Lord is risen today.
Let us pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity to come and worship you today. We're thankful for this full sanctuary, and we're thankful for the occasion that we have today. Help us to remember that whatever our need is, whether it's physical or spiritual or mental, that all we need to remember is that the resurrection forgave our sins and paid our debt, and all we have to do is to come to you, and we will have eternal life. Now we ask that you bless these tithes and offerings and bless the giver as well. And we pray that it would be pleasing to you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you.
sure to give the children that might be in the congregation just a few more moments to come down for our children's sermon. So great to see so many of you already sitting right here. I love being able to talk to you face to face and see each one of your faces. So I want to make sure I give everybody time. There's plenty of room right here. You can sit anywhere you want, anywhere at all. I just want to make sure I can see you. All right. Absolutely. Well, good morning again. Everybody knows what today is, hopefully, right? What's today? Today's Easter, right? Absolutely. And as a few more come down, I want to make sure you can tell me, can somebody tell me a little bit about Easter? Tell me something about Easter. What is Easter? Jackson? What's Easter? Jesus rose from the dead, absolutely, right? I mean, that's powerful. That's amazing. We've heard the choir sing amazing songs about that already, and we've heard Scripture talk about that. Can anybody else tell me anything about Easter? What about Easter? Yeah, we do celebrate Jesus during Easter. Absolutely. That's the most important thing during Easter, right? And here's an easy question. I know we all know what that is, right? It's a rock. That's associated with Easter, believe it or not. It really is. Sometimes people call a rock a stone. That's another name for a rock. And we heard about that in... It is a rock. Now imagine if this rock was 100 times bigger. That would be a huge rock, right? That would be a really big rock. Maybe the size of the rock outside the fellowship hall, if you've seen that. That's a really big rock. Now imagine a rock even bigger than that rock. A really, really big rock. I want you to think of the biggest rock you can think of. And we've heard about a stone already in Scripture. So I want you to listen again to the Scripture I read and listen to what happens to that really big stone. Okay? We're going to talk about what we read here in John chapter 20. Make sure you listen to what happens. Early on the first day of the week, like we're celebrating today, while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb and saw that the stone had been removed from the entrance. That big stone had been removed from the entrance. So she came running to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one Jesus loved, and said, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they put him." So Peter and the other disciple started for the tomb. Both were running. But the other disciple outran Peter, and he got to the tomb first. He bent over and looked in at the strips of linen lying there, but did not go in. Then Simon Peter came along behind him, and he went straight into the tomb. He saw the strips of linen lying there, as well as the cloth that had been wrapped around Jesus' head. The cloth, listen to this, it was still lying in the same place, separate from the linen where Jesus' head was. Finally, the other disciple who had reached the tomb first also went inside. He saw and believed. They still did not understand from Scripture that Jesus had to rise from the dead. Then the disciples went back to where they were staying. Now Mary stood outside the tomb crying. As she wept, she bent over to look into the tomb and saw two angels in white seated where Jesus' body had been, one at the head, the other at the foot. They asked her, "Woman, why are you crying?" "They have taken my Lord away," she said, "and I do not know where they have put him." At this, she turned around and saw Jesus standing there, but she did not realize that it was Jesus. He asked her, "Woman, why are you crying? Who is it that you are looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have put him, and I will go get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned to him and cried out in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said, "Do not hold on to me, for I have not yet ascended to the Father. Go instead to my brothers and tell them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God." Now here's what I want you to focus on. Mary Magdalene went to the disciples with the news, "I have seen the Lord." And she told them that he had said these things to her. Now I think it would have been amazing to have seen what Mary and the disciples saw, don't you? That would have been amazing to see that big stone moved away in the empty tomb. Well, we still believe, even though we haven't seen that. We believe that's true. We believe Jesus Christ, right? And we believe he's been risen from the dead. That's why we're here celebrating. So this week, I hope the excitement of Easter doesn't stop after today. I hope this week that you'll promise me that you'll tell at least one more person the great news about Jesus Christ being raised from the dead and how amazing that is. Okay? So remember that this week as we pray now. close your eyes and bow your heads with me, and we'll pray about that. God, thank you so much for reminding us how special this story is. It's the most special story we can read today. And we want to continue to tell other people about this story of your Son, Jesus Christ, being raised from the dead long after Easter is over this year. Show us how to do that this week. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. All right. I'll see y'all next week.
To the responsive reading. What is the message of Easter that we need to proclaim?
He is risen indeed.
He has risen.
He has risen indeed.
If he has risen, then our sins are forgiven.
He has risen indeed.
If he has risen, then death has been conquered.
He has risen indeed.
Are you sure he has risen?
He has risen indeed.
If he has risen, we shall see him again.
He has risen indeed.
If he has risen, we shall live with him forever in glory.
He has risen indeed.
He has risen.
He has risen indeed.
Blessed be the name of our resurrected Lord.
Thank you, choir. Thank you, Rebecca. Rebecca said she was a little scared to do that, and I understand some of y'all look a little scary this morning. Not really. It's just a couple of you. No. What a day. He has risen. He has risen indeed. Think about that. If you'll look inside your bulletin, we have prayer concerns. You have to open it one more time, and we've got the pages listed on page 3. You'll find those concerns, and certainly with a gathering this size, there are many other prayer needs. In just a moment, we're going to pray corporately and lift them all to the resurrected Lord. I would share with us all this morning that Brother Bill Cotton has been moved to Westfield rehab in Tramway, room 304. And I know that you'll keep him in your prayers. There are others, and each one equally as valuable on this list. And we will lift them this week faithfully to our Lord. Would you pray with me? O God, our God. O Lord, our Lord. O Savior, our Savior. O great physician, our great physician. We come before you, awed by the power of the resurrection, and grateful that you loved us enough to endure the cross and to break the bonds of sin that held us to a hell-bent destiny and freed us and paid our way to glory forever and for always. Lord, as we're on this journey together through this old earth, there are times when we have special needs, and our prayer list are those that we love and we know about that have special needs. We lift them to your care. You know every need, whether it's a grieving heart, whether it's a heart dealing with the unknown, whether it is someone dealing with sickness and not sure about the future. We know you're sure. And we find our hope in no other place than in you. God, would you speak over this gathering today? There are other needs that are on our heart and mind that we lift to your care now and ask that you might bless. But Lord, would you allow us to lift ourselves to you for just a moment and give us those penetrating eyes that might see in our life some area where we need your special adjustment. Maybe today we've come into the worship center with some unrepented sin, maybe some attitude. Lord, you know every heart. You know my heart. You know each of our hearts. You know my need. You know each of our needs. And Lord, maybe today as we're praying together, would you speak to us? And Lord, let us hear what you have to say, that we might leave this place truly being able to say, it was good to be in the house of the Lord on this day. In the strong, in the magnificent, in the wonderful, in the beautiful name of Jesus Christ, we make our prayer. Our resurrected Lord. Amen and amen.
The tomb is empty, he is not there, no soul.
Thank you, choir, for blessing us with a great deal of energy and effort and beautiful music and tremendous messages in song. Let me invite you to open your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, the 28th chapter. What other text could we go to today in the story of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior? Matthew 28, we're going to read the first 10 verses. If you're able, let me invite you to stand as a way of honoring the reading of God's holy word. Now after the Sabbath, toward the dawn of the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning, and his clothing white as snow. And for fear of him, the guards trembled and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. He is not here, for he has risen. As he said, come, see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead. And behold, he is going before you to Galilee. There you will see him. See, I have told you." So they departed quickly from the tomb with fear and great joy. And ran to tell his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers to go to Galilee, and there they will see me." May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his most holy word. Would you pray with me? Lord, for a moment or two on this resurrection getting up Sunday, would you speak to our hearts that we might leave in the power of the resurrection? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today we celebrate the most significant event since creation, the resurrection of our Lord. I've been noticing you may have seen an article on CNN about Christians who say they no longer believe in God, but they still believe they're Christian. I don't have time to get into that debate on this morning, but I do have a question. As our culture continues to move further and further away from our faith, what do we believe? What do you believe? What do I believe? Fable? Legend? Mythology? Or reality? Well, depending on what we believe, what we really believe will make all the difference in what we expect to happen and what's already happened this morning as we've worshiped the Lord. You know your response. We're going to do it three times again. I'm going to make the pronouncement. And if you really believe, I want you to make the Christian response to "He is risen, He is risen indeed." Are you ready? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
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 That's the title of my message this morning. I believe that. Of that I'm sure. I'm not sure of what this afternoon holds or what tomorrow looks like. I'm not sure if next Easter Sunday I'll even be standing in this pulpit or even on this earth. I'm not sure about any of that. But I'm sure He's risen. He is risen indeed. And I have put all of my stock, and I have put all of my, if you would, eggs in that basket. That's what I believe. That's why every Sunday morning, whether in this pulpit or not, I find my way to a place of worship on Sunday, because I believe He's risen. He's risen indeed. And He's worthy, and He's told me He wants me to worship Him. So I'm going to do that, because I believe He really is who He says He is. Because He is who He says He is, I pray. Sometimes I don't know how to use the words. Sometimes I'm not sure of the outcome of what I'm asking for. Sometimes I don't know. But as the Apostle Paul said, I know whom I have believed in and am persuaded that He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I believe that. What do you believe? He has risen. He has risen indeed. And because He is risen, the earth was shaken. Matthew is the only one who tells us this, but he tells it to us twice. There are two earthquakes when Jesus first faces death. Remember when the veil is torn in Matthew 27:51. And then in our text today in 28:2, it says there was a great earthquake. The earth was shaken. When you believe that the resurrection is a reality, it shakes your world. It shakes your world. And our world today needs to be shaken. I love the way James Weldon Johnson tells the story of creation. I can't do it justice. It's in that powerful Negro spiritual motif. But hear the words of how creation started. And why the resurrection ties directly to it. And God stepped out on space and He looked around and He said, I'm lonely. I'll make me a world. And far as the eye of God could see, darkness covered everything. Blacker than 100 midnights down in a cypress swamp. Then God smiled and the light broke. And the darkness rolled up on one side, and the light stood shining on the other. And God said, that's good. Then God reached out, and He took the light in His hands. And God rolled up the light in His hands until He made the sun. And He set the sun ablazing in the heavens. And the light was that was left from making the sun, He gathered it up in a shining ball. And He flung it against the darkness, spangling the night with the moons and the stars. Then down between the darkness and the light, He hurled the world. And God said, that's good. Then God Himself stepped out, and the sun was on His right hand, and the moon was on His left. The stars were clustered about His head, and the earth was under His feet. And God walked, and where He trod, His footsteps hollowed the valleys out and bulged the mountains up. Then He stopped and He looked and He saw that the earth was hot and barren. And God stepped over to the edge of the world and He spat out the seven seas. And He batted His eyes and the lightnings flashed. And He clapped His hands and the thunder rolled. And the waters above the earth came down. The cooling waters came down. Then the green grass sprouted up and the little red flowers blossomed. The pine trees pointed His finger to the sky and the oak spread out His arms. The lakes cuddled down in the hollows of the ground and the rivers ran down to the sea. And God smiled again and a rainbow appeared and curled itself around his shoulders. Then God raised his arms and he waved his hand over the sea and over the land, and he said, "Bring forth, bring forth." And quicker than God could drop his hands, fishes and fowls and beasts and birds swam the rivers and the seas, roamed the forest and the woods, and split the air with their wings. And God said, "It is good." Then God walked around and God looked around on all that he had made. He looked at his sun and he looked at his moon and he looked at his little stars and he looked on his world with all its living things. And God said, "I'm lonely still." Then God sat down on the side of a hill where he could think. By a deep, wide river, he sat down with his hands in his head in his hands, and he thought and he thought till he thought, "I'll make me a man." And up from the bed of the river, God scooped the clay, and by the bank of the river, he knelt down. And there, the great God Almighty, who lit the sun and fixed it in the sky, who flung the stars to the most far corner of the night, who rounded the earth in the middle of his hand, this great God, like a mammy bending over her baby, kneeled down in the dust, toiling over a lump of clay until he shaped it in his own image. And then into it he blew the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Amen and amen. That was the moment. And the second moment in history that changes everything is the moment we celebrate today. God said, "Not only am I lonely for man on this world, I'm lonely for man for eternity. And I've got to provide a way." And when Jesus stretched out his arms on the cross and died for your sin and for my sin, the earth shook. And when the stone that would have kept you from him and him from you was rolled away, it rolled because the earth that God had rolled up in his hands and placed between his sun and his moon, it shook again. When's the last time God's world has shaken in your life? Because he is risen, not only was the earth shaken, not only today do we need to be shaken, but because he is risen, expectations have changed. You see, the women went that first Easter Sunday coming with hopeless expectations. Do you think it might be safe to say that there might be someone here today who is gathered in this great congregation with no expectations? Don't expect God to say a thing. Don't expect God to do a thing. Maybe you've come because you had to come. Maybe you came because it's Easter and you ought to come. But what expectations do we have? G.K. Chesterton once said, "It is supposed that when people stop believing in God, they believe in nothing at all. Alas, it's worse than that. When they stop believing in God, then they start believing in anything." You see, when God's not our standard of what is right and wrong, if God's not your standard, then in 2015 in America, oh my goodness, you can choose all kind of gods, can't you? You can choose the ABC, CBS, NBC God, the American Idol God. You can choose the newspaper God or the internet God, or you can make you up a God. The scripture says all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. If I trust my morality rather than God's morality, then I can make anything okay. Whatever I do, I can justify. However I live, I can justify. However I want to be a Christian, I can justify. If God's not my standard, I wonder what our expectations are. I wonder if I use God's standards for what I do, not mine. I wonder if I build my life upon what God wants, not what I want. The women went, they had no expectations. They thought God was dead. Who knows? Maybe someone here today feels that way. But even now, the Holy Spirit of God is in this place. What Easter expectations do we have? Someone once said, if you don't aim at anything, you can hit it every time. Expectations. Probably they were never more put on display than, of all things, in a talent show called Britain's Got Talent. Anybody ever heard of that show, Britain's Got Talent? There's one similar to it, America's Got Talent. You know Simon Cowell, right? Well, several years ago, as they were doing those auditions, she stepped out. Now, she didn't look like she ought to be on anybody's stage. She certainly shouldn't be in a talent show where they were looking for the next superstar. But out she stood. Here she came, kind of bouncing when she walked. She had placed the number that identified her as a contestant, not on her clothes, but right across here on the skin. Her hair didn't look like she had spent a lot of time getting ready. And that dress, my goodness, I wonder where she found that. But there she stood. And it was such that when she walked out on stage, you could hear the air kind of go out of that room. I don't know how many thousands were in it. And you could hear, even with the microphones, a little, oh no, this is going to be bad. This is a train wreck waiting to happen. And then they started that little bit of dialogue. You know how the judges talk to you a little bit before you sing? And the more she talked, the more you were convinced. They've got these little electronic X's, you know, that if the judge really thinks you're bad, they can hit a button and it goes, eh! I just did that in case anybody's asleep, you know. And I just thought, man, she probably won't get two bars out. And all of those X's are going to go. And after the judges kind of made a little sport with her, it was time for her to sing. And that expectancy of a disaster fell over the crowd and silence. And the music started. And when Susan Boyle began to sing, the world changed. That audience changed. A voice like the voice of an angel began to penetrate the ears and the hearts and the minds of the people who had judged her wrongly, as they realized she was probably one of the greatest singers that walked on this planet. Have we judged God? Have we come today with some preconceived ideas? Have we already made our mind up that God won't do anything this Easter Sunday? Maybe like He didn't last Easter Sunday, and hopefully like He won't do next Easter Sunday. But oh, if we could hear when God opens His mouth, and when Jesus said greetings, could you hear Jesus say greetings? I come to the end this morning because He is written, empty tombs are the promise. The angel invited the ladies to come and see that empty tomb. Come see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell His disciples. Because the tomb is empty, death has been defeated. A great preacher of antiquity, on one Sunday morning when his congregation was like this one, there was no room left, and they were expecting the great orator to come and bring one of his greatest messages. He came after the music, And when it was time for his hour-long sermon, that scares you, didn't it? He stood to his pulpit and he said, "He is risen." And he offered the invitation. Think about it. What else could anybody give you other than this reality? He is risen. Remember his words? "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. And one day I'll come and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." He's risen. Remember what he said, "Come unto me, all ye who labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." He's risen. He is risen indeed. That's enough. I can't say any more, because there's nothing more to say. He is risen. He is risen indeed. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Would you pray with me? Lord, in a moment our choir is going to sing, and then we're going to sing, "You are Lord." We're going to sing it with believing hearts, with expectant hearts. We pray, oh God, you might shake our world again right now. And maybe there's something in our life that you need to shake out. Do that, God. And maybe we came with low expectations, but now your Holy Spirit is molding our hearts with that reality that in you and you alone is life. And oh God, thank you for the empty tomb. In Jesus' name. people said,
Amen.
Thank you, choir. Upon those three things, he has died, he has risen, he will come again. Is he your Lord? Before we leave today, make that a reality. Our hymn is page 178. And our hymn and our decision or invitation is simply this. Is he your Lord? What do you expect? Has he shaken your world? And how do we respond to the empty tomb as we stand together and sing? Indeed, it has been good to be in the house of the Lord. Could we give this choir one more amen?
Amen.
Thank you. Well done for blessing us with that powerful music. Now, everybody to look right down where you're seated right now. Will you look at your seat? It'll be here next Sunday. We'll be back. And we'll be open for business.
And we'll have communion.
And we will have communion next Sunday as well. And we look forward to this. Thank you for blessing us. You have made our day by your presence. When God's people fill God's house, God is pleased and God's people are pleased. Let me remind you, you've noticed we're not doing announcements, but they're in the bulletin. And we presented you with it. And by the way, we want your opinion of the bulletin, too. It's different. Some of you have noticed that, I bet. And let us know what you think about that, as it may be a new style for us. But we would love your input on that. I did want to remind everyone of our connecting stories in just a couple of weekends. We've got a sign-up sheet. We are going to have breakfast that morning, so we need to know how many to prepare for. So if you could be a part of that, and I pray, that I promise you, if you are a person who loves Flat Springs Baptist Church, there's nothing more important that's going to happen in that weekend than you being here to help us connect some stories as we look to what God has to say to us in our future. Please read the bulletin. You'll also notice that you are our closing choir. We're going to sing the chorus of the hymn we just sang as our closing today. And now, as we leave this place, this beautiful place, wasn't it beautiful when you rode in this morning? It's just beginning to come alive on Easter Sunday. God speaks to us in so many ways, doesn't he? And as we leave this beautiful place, we go out to God's beautiful place. May we do so in God's peace and in his power. And in his abiding presence, that we, the people of the resurrection, might be his people in the midst of all his people. Would you pray? Indeed, O God, it has been good
to be in your house this day. Go with us as we go from this place, that we may tell the world that you are risen. You are risen indeed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
He is Lord. He is Lord. He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord.
Go and spread Jesus' love.